Blog Talk Radio.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. This Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we welcome you to the Sunday after 4th of July. So your family's trickling out of town now, and you're trickling back into town. So before we get into all of that, I guess happy after 4th of July.
Okay.
So let's get into our word, and we're going to proceed.
Definitely. All right, so our word today is kind of funny because, you know, lately the Lord has been ministering to my spirit, my heart, my soul about love, the importance of love and why love is so important and for our success as a community, as a society, as a human race. So this is definitely for everybody, not just a particular person. All right, the scripture comes from Leviticus 25, 30, verses 35 to 38. So chapter 25, verses 35 through 38. It reads, "If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear your God that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury, nor lend him your food at a profit. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God." The thing about the land of Canaan was actually the promised land, if you want to put it that way. It is, well, not the promised land, but it is the land of beauty. It's better than where they came from. They came out of Egypt where there was oppression and there were slaves, and it was over 400 years of just horror for them. And now you're talking about going into the land of Canaan where things are better and, you know, if you will, a land of milk and honey. This is a place where there's prosperity, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's equate that to our lives, where how God has brought us from something and how we are in a better state now. Okay, so with that being said, God is saying one of your brothers, they get poor, they get in poverty, they go bankrupt, something horrible happens to them, they're health stricken, something happens to them. When you help them out, one, help them out. Two, when you help them out, don't lend them money expecting it back. Not only that, don't lend them money and tell them to pay you back, and if they don't, and by putting interest on it, I'm going to give you $100, but I want $200 back. And if you take even longer, I'm going to put more money on it.
That's a payday loan right there.
Who are you telling?
Yeah.
And not only that, and even deeper, don't do something for them because you know it's going to be beneficial to you. So, example, he's going to blow. I'm going to help him out now while he's struggling, because I know he's going to blow, and when he get on, he's going to drop $1 million in my lap. No. We don't help people because it can benefit us in the long run, in that sense. We only do it because it's something that God says. Because look what God says. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land. So one, not only that, I'm God. You're doing it because I'm God, not because I'm going to bless you for this. You're going to do it because I'm God. And now he throws on there, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. So let's think about all of our lands of Egypt. You know, I see young men that are, you know, they may be sagging or they're dealing with their situations, whether it be fornication or going to the clubs or even homelessness or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. I had my times of Egypt. I had my time when I was in Egypt like you. So I'm going to help you, not because I take time out of my day to counsel you, mentor you, or give you money for whatever. However, I can help you because I was there and God brought me out through somebody. So I will be that somebody that helps bring you out of your land of Egypt. I'm not going to frown upon you, or I'm not going to watch you be poor, or I'm not going to give you money and expect you to pay it back. So that's the type of person I am. Normally, when I give you money, I give you money, and I don't expect you to give it back because it is a room of grace. Because I used to hate that. Man, bro, here go $20. You know, I really need it back because I got a bill due next week. And then I'm chasing you for the next 3 months trying to get the money back from you. Nah. If I'm going to give it to you, I give it to you, and that's what it is. It's just what it is. Because in most cases, too, my homegirl says, she said this to me before. She said, she gives out money because if she knew that you could pay it back, then you probably wouldn't even ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, it's like, and this is what helps us in our relationship with people, period. Like, if I'm giving you money, if I give you money and I don't expect you to give it back, it's like a lot of disappointments come from expectations, from the wrong expectations. So I've heard people pray, God, you know, give me this, give me that. God gonna bless me. And then they don't get it and they turn their backs on God. And the thing is, why? You expected something out of God that I didn't expect out of God. So I didn't get disappointed in God because I never expected him to do something that he never said he wouldn't do.
Absolutely.
So what is with mankind as well, we have to keep in mind that they are mankind. Mankind is liable. They are likely. They can. They are able to break promises. They do it. Even though it's against the code, they'll do it. We can't expect mankind to be perfect. Now, I'm not saying that we look towards people to not have integrity, because I still expect the level of integrity from you. And if you said you're going to do something, you should do it. But at the end of the day, if you do not do it, because my God told me to love you, because my God told me to do right by you, because my God told me to serve, that's what I'm going to fall on at the end of the day, is that love instead of that, man, forget these dudes, man, they never do this and that, da, da, da. I don't trust nobody. I can't do that because my God just told us in Scripture to do this because I am the Lord your God who brought you out.
Mm-hmm.
So my words are to encourage. When someone, one of our brothers is hurt, man, let's help them out. You know, there will be a lot less drama, you know, if we started to help one another out, because if a man is poor and I helped him out, it lowers the rate. I'm not saying it's going to change the world, but it actually lowers the rate of a man to steal something, because he's stealing something out of envy, jealousy, or just basic need. So if we're supplying him, what I got and you got it, why would you steal something that you already got from me? Now, the devil's still out and about. He's still evil, so evil's still going on, but we can cut down a lot of the rate. It's just like setting barriers up, you know what I mean? So the best way for me would help me in my deliverance, when I say fornication, outside of marriage, what helped me was to remove myself from the environment that provoked it. So if I know the club has a lot of temptation in it, it is my duty to not put myself in a place to get tempted. So I stopped going to the club because y'all know what people are wearing in the club. If I have a homicide, I'm going to be abstinent, but I keep going to the club. I keep watching flicks. I keep doing this. I keep doing that. I'm not doing anything that's going to guard me from what I'm dealing with. So it's the same thing with helping other people, because my deliverance is somebody else's deliverance as well. It's a testimony is all powerful. So God brought me up. So I'm going to help the best way I can to help bring you up in such and such. I may not have money, but I can give you time. I may not have time, but I can give you words. I may not have words, I can guide somebody to you, or I can lead you in a direction to go. But somehow, some way, we can help one another out And more so even strangers. Strangers, man. Just because you don't know a person, it doesn't mean that you can't say hello, handshake, hug, how you doing? Hey, you okay? Like, you look a little sick. What's, you know, there's a something.
Something.
So, love.
Love and courage. And especially you got courage people like the Paula Deans of this world.
Yeah.
You got to encourage. I mean, you know, we can slam them, but you got to encourage them to change their ways.
And what's crazy is, I don't have no anger or anything towards her or the situation. I mean, one is the past, and then two, I mean, just like my God said, our God said, you know, we forgive, we love, we keep it moving, we edify the body, we encourage the body. So if you are a saint or one of God's own, you know, you're not harboring hate in your heart. Because what is that doing? Because to be honest with you, when you hate on somebody, you don't put them in bondage, you put yourself in bondage, because now you are a slave to a feeling that you say you don't like. So I hate this person. Every time they come around, it just makes me sick. Well, when this person comes around, they don't get sick by you. So you are now a slave to the feeling of their presence. So they control your emotions. So if I want you sick, all I got to do is come around. All I got to do is tell somebody to say my name and you get sick. So that means you a slave. So I have held you in bondage because of the hate in your heart. So hating on somebody or disliking somebody with a high, high level of hatred in your heart, it causes you to be a slave, and you're the only one that's hurt by it. And this is why God keeps telling us about love, 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 love.
Mm-hmm.
How can you kill your brother that you love? Love, love, love.
Absolutely. Man, I'm telling you, it's interesting. There's a lot of things going on, and people, you watch the news, it's one thing to get the information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing to get caught up in the information.
True.
It's like the Zimmerman trial. Everybody's all in it. I'm all about the information. What's going to happen with the trial? Okay?
Right.
I'm not watching the day-to-day, this prosecutor said. I just want to know what the outcome is. What are the turntables?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not looking to see who's going to cry on the stand and no. Mm-mm. No, not into that. I'm into finding out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And once I get the information, and then we move on. Because justice do need to be served. You know, justice need to be served.
Right.
However they do it, hopefully it'll be in the most tender manner of the correct, I don't want to say punishment, but you know, he deserves what he has coming to him.
Can you give me an update of what's going on thus far?
Right now, I think this coming week, defense will be up there.
Okay.
So, I'm not sure if Zimmerman is going to take a stand. I know last couple of weeks, Trayvon's mom took a stand. His brother and his friend, I don't know if his girlfriend or whatever, she took a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And within the last couple of weeks. So, a couple of witnesses, you know. So now the tables are turned. This coming week it's going to be the defense, you know.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if he's going to take the stand or not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, we shall see.
What's crazy is I haven't really been too in-depth in the case since trial started. I haven't really been following that much, just catching bits and pieces here and there. But Trayvon Martin's friend, lady friend, I heard she took the stand. And social media caught fire. When I say catch fire, you know, it was just buzzing around. Just so much posting going on about her. And from our community, it was very negative. They were talking about how ignorant she is, how ghetto and all this stuff. Really just, you know, degrading her.
What's going on right now is, even with her, even if she is, okay, now, I have to defend her.
Right? Oh, definitely, yeah, I'm with you.
But my thing is, if she ghetto, that's just who she is.
That's who she is.
if everyone is going to say she's ghetto, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, if that's what she is, that's what she is. She's not trying to be someone else for the trial.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They plucked her from where he got her from, whether she was from rich kid or whether she's ghetto. It's not like,
right,
okay, we have to train her to speak well for the judge. No.
Right.
You're calling me out of my environment, so you
mm-hmm.
want to, I'm not going to change. I'm going to answer you the way I feel that I feel appropriate. Whether
right.
Whether we agree the way she answered the questions or not,
mm-hmm.
she was plucked from her environment. Now, the thing is, they were going in on her really hard, and she was 19, she's 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to give you the same responses as a 28-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old.
Right.
She's not going to give
right.
you those responses. Remember, she's 19 years old. She's freshly out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what response are you going to have? What kind of response are you going to have? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So apparently she, you know, she was on the phone at the time the interaction between him and Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just think it's very interesting that it's this huge trial. I know you're not guilty. Not guilty until you're proven guilty. You're innocent until you're proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my thing is, this is where I draw my line here.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a child, you say, hey, do not touch the stove because it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
The child say, hey, I really want to touch the stove. And you say, no, it's hot. Don't touch the stove.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You touch the stove, the consequence of the stove being hot, you get burned. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Zimmerman. Okay. I'm not agreeing what happened,
mm-hmm.
whether Trayvon attacked him or whether he attacked Trayvon. Bottom
mm-hmm.
line is the cops on the 911 call, they said, he said, do you want me to follow him? Plain and clear. And they say, no, do not follow the suspect. Now, as a consequence of him following,
mm-hmm.
he ended up killing Trayvon. Now,
right.
let's say Trayvon didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Trayvon was all out, just attacked him and got away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He still, Trayvon is wrong for attacking him. But however,
mm-hmm.
that would not have happened. That wouldn't
mm-hmm.
have happened if Zimmerman didn't follow him.
Right, right. I agree.
So, in essence, he touched the stove.
Mm.
So he ended up getting burnt. Now, how he has to prove now that his fingers aren't really burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Why you have cocoa butter on your finger? Why you have blisters on your finger? You know what
right,
I mean? You gotta
right.
You know what I mean? You gotta defend, you know, so that's what's going on. I mean, it's just like, and it's making me sick because the only thing, I mean, the thing is our legal system says you're innocent until proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what may happen is they may convict him not on an attempt to murder. They may convict him on a manslaughter charge, which he may do, I don't know. I don't know law like that. So I'm saying maybe 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But if it was
right.
attempt, I'm going to go after this guy and I'm going to kill him, then he'll get more.
Right.
The sad thing is that they prove the lesser, he's going to get out of jail and still have his life. Also, he'll be socially in prison, but he still have his life. He still will be out and about, be able to
mm-hmm.
go to Walmart after 15 years or 20.
He'll
be able to go grocery shopping. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So then they had to file civil suit. Then so it's a whole bunch of. It's crazy. I mean, it's sad, but I mean, that's the way the system is.
It is. And some have referred to this case being equivalent to the Emmett Till case.
I don't see that.
I don't see it either, but I've heard some speculation.
Because, see, the deal with the Emmett Till case, you have two boys down in the South. They weren't from the area.
Uh-huh.
So Emmett went into, I guess they were walking down the street, and they saw the white female, and they said, "I bet you won't talk to her." He's like, "I will,"
yep.
basically.
Mm-hmm.
So he went into the store. You know, he purchased something, whatever, and he tried to talk to the girl.
Mm-hmm.
The girl then reported to her family, and then they came to his house and took him out of the house, to his uncle's
mm-hmm.
house, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Took him out of the house and then did the damage. With this, it wasn't so. It was,
I agree.
He was already there. He followed him. It was a simple, I'm not listening to the authority, so... That's what's going on right there. I don't see this being nowhere near.
I agree.
The Emmett Till. I don't understand the comparison.
I guess the comparison probably more so came from the black versus. He's not white, from what I'm hearing, but it comes from the color grades, the different color grades differential. So
yeah, and the thing is, this guy has made numerous calls to 911, various situations.
Yeah.
He wasn't. I mean, like I said, the bottom line is, they say, "Hey, I don't want you to follow." He said these guys always get away. But he said black guys always get away, or I don't
mm-hmm.
know if he actually used the N word or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is. They told him not to follow. He followed him. He ended up getting into a fight. He ended up killing the guy. Whether you did it in self-defense, you shouldn't have had to be dealing with self-defense if you did not go.
Exactly.
If you just watched him from your porch or your vehicle, and
mm-hmm.
even if you followed him with your vehicle slowly behind, you could say, "Okay, officer, I'm not going to get out of my car, but I'm just going to follow him slowly." And they say, "Look, don't get out the car. We will be there. Where's your location?" And then you're safe.
Right.
Then, you know what I mean? But at the same time, they're still saying, hey, on the flip side, they say don't follow, period, and you still follow
mm-hmm.
them in your car, you're still disobeying the law. They tell you, no,
right.
We got this.
Right.
So, you know, I really feel bad for both families.
Yes.
Because
yes.
both families have... to deal with both sides,
mm-hmm.
you know, Trayvon, you know, his family has to deal with, you know, he's not around no more due to this crazy situation,
yeah.
and Zimmerman's family have to deal with this guy's actions,
mm-hmm.
you know. No, what's really crazy, this is what happened a while ago, is I think it was Sprint, I think we talked about it, Sprint had, recycled Zimmerman's phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And
we did talk about it. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They recycled his phone number, and a older gentleman. That was his first time getting his cell phone, and they gave him Zimmerman's phone number, and he received so many life threatening calls.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So that's why I was saying, once this guy gets out of prison. In fact, if he does, because we don't, like I said, they didn't say he's going to jail. So,
right.
In fact, if he goes to jail for 1 to 50, you know, 30 years or whatever it is, whenever
mm-hmm.
he gets out, he's still socially in prison. He's still, I mean, he can't get, he won't be able to get a decent job.
Right.
You know, because.
I think the greater fear would be if he beats the case. If he beats the case. I think that's where the greater fear would be at, in my opinion. If he beats the case, you have a community that is angry. So he's
mm-hmm.
living in fear. He's going to have to relocate. And then you got to talk about, we're talking about, like you said, a job. How do you find a job? Even if you're found not guilty, you have no kind of criminal actions on your record. But this, his face is, he's like a celebrity, but not in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So you're mentally still in jail. You're socially in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And could that be a greater pain than the actual physical jail?
I believe it's a greater pain because you're out in the public and you have to, like, if you're in jail, you're in jail behind walls. You're just dealing with that environment.
Yeah.
But now when you go to the, that's taking to, put him in a fun place. He goes to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the amusement park. He's going to be recognized.
Yep.
And you don't know who's going to target him. You know, so, wow.
Couldn't imagine living a life always looking over your shoulder.
Yeah. It's almost an equivalent, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying for him to do this,
mm-hmm.
but it's almost equivalent for him to just go ahead. He might as well do dealing drugs because he's not going to get a regular job.
Mm.
You know, and like I said, I'm not saying this is what he have to do, but that's where he's going to end up in some avenue of illegal situations because, I mean, he can't, I mean, if I am a person that has a business,
mm-hmm.
a restaurant, dealing with customer service, I won't be mm-hmm. able to hire him.
Mm-hmm.
He may be qualified. He may be qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we hire him? Do we give him a chance? Yes, we can give him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But it may bring problems to my establishment.
Well, if you think about it, let's say thinking deeper on it, he has supporters as well. He has supporters. So, he could get hired by one of his supporters. So, say if it's customer service. Mm-hmm. And he's just, you know, hey, this is Mr. Man. Like he did, he doesn't really say his name, and it's over the phone. Nobody has to see his face, maybe not even recognize his vocals.
Yeah.
I mean, so I wouldn't say he won't get one. And he could possibly rededicate his life to Christ. He could dedicate his life to Christ, get saved. And
he can.
Once you get saved, you know, your sins are forgiven and washed away. And
absolutely.
Once again, we have to love him. Regardless, even so, even if anybody declares him an enemy, I have to say that you guys have to love him still if you are a saint.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really how God plays, how it all plays out through God. But more importantly, wow, like this case is.
It may be the modern, what they say, a modern day OJ situation.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
No?
Nah.
No.
Let's think about it. Hold on now.
I'm saying not far as the crime itself.
Not the crime itself, but
if he gets off.
I guess you could say that. I guess because let me think about. Okay, off the record, did you think OJ was guilty during the trial? Did you like, man, he guilty, but I hope he beat it.
I'm gonna tell you. I feel that he was involved in it.
Uh-huh.
I feel that he had something to do with it. I don't believe that OJ did it by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's several things, like if you really are innocent, why are you running? Even if you're scared, you're like, okay, this is crazy. I can't
mm-hmm.
believe this happened.
Yeah.
I need to call for help. Somebody just murdered, he murdered this lady.
Mm-hmm.
There's no call that came in. They is looking for him.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? That tells you, one, if you didn't do it, you had some help. Number
mm-hmm.
two, you had scratches on your hands.
Mm.
So, if you had nothing to do with it, why did you run?
Mm.
Another thing, the thing with the gloves,
mm-hmm.
they said that the reason why it didn't fit because it shrunk, because I think it was due to weathering or it was something caused it to shrink. Hold on, we have someone on our line here. Let's go to our line.
Hey, I'm trying to get in touch with DJ Covenant.
This is the Covenant Cafe. This is Lamont Ferguson and Lamont.
Poetic.
Hey, this
That's crazy. did y'all catch that?
I heard Lamont Ferguson. I was like, damn, what about me?
Thanks for calling. Who are we talking to?
This is Kentisha.
Hello,
Kentisha. Slowly responded. Hello.
I'm just caught up. I was just like, hello, this is your host, Lamont. This is the host, Lamont Ferguson. No, and Lamont Ferguson. I'm like, wow. But anyway, I'm sorry. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you all?
We are doing fine.
We're wonderful.
It's fine. You know, we got to open the door and let your fans know.
Oh, that's funny.
They had signs with your name on it. Poetic Lacey, he's going to actually do the interview, so I'm going to sit back and relax and enjoy the interview. If I have something to say, I'll chime in, maybe.
Oh, thank you.
Good stuff. Well, first and foremost, it's definitely important that I say it is always an honor to have a woman of God on the show. It is such a beautiful thing, and I commend you on your work and your grind as an artist as well, and definitely stay encouraged and continue to push.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. So now that that's done, we're going to pretend, I call this a blind interview, and I call it blind because we're going to act as if I don't know nothing about you. You didn't say your name just then. I didn't see the email, what you did described you. I didn't listen to your music. I haven't promoted you. Nobody knows anything. So for starters, who are you?
I'm Kentisha. I currently live in Raleigh, North Carolina. And gospel, that's my thing. That's what I do. Just a feel-good thing for me. Love to do it. Sing about them, for them, to them. So that's what I'm about.
Okay, pretty good. So you're singing gospel. This is what you do. So what we want to know, I deal with what people would call an urban community, which is very nice, but ghetto. And a lot of people that I deal with, to say Christ or say God or to really represent him, it's a problem because everybody wants to do them. So we want to know, what's your testimony? What gives you that boldness to go forth and proclaim the gospel? What has God done for you or brought you through to make you say, hey, this is where my life is, this is where I'm going, and this is why you should come as well?
I think it's, I got quite a few testimonies, but I mean, one of them was probably a few years ago. I mean, I had, got an illness. I always grew up with asthma, so that's what I was thinking it was. I was just sitting watching TV and ended up having to go to the hospital, and it wasn't asthma. It was something that had I gone to sleep that night, I wasn't going to be here the next day. So, I have to give a testimony to that because I have children, I have a husband, and, I think we just, a lot of times we take our health for granted because we always think that we know so much and know more than God and what our purpose are. And, you might plan something, but it's never in stone. It's what God says. So you can make plans all you want to, but watch when he change them. So, that's like one of my greatest testimonies. And I'm just, I can honestly say I don't walk around quoting a lot of scriptures now. I am faithful to my church, faithful to my praise team, faithful to God. But I'm real. And even with my music, I love a urban-y feel gospel. But I also like traditional. I mean, that's just what I am. And I like to relate to everybody. I don't want it to be just that I'm relating just to one group of people, because God is more than just that.
Good stuff. Okay, good stuff. How long have you been an artist? And what caused you to be an artist? Like, what the day of when you said, this is what I'm gonna do. Let's get it.
My family is. I come from a family of singers, so I've been singing since I was little. And then getting older and singing with a lot of groups that weren't gospel. They were more secular groups. I mean, it was fun and it was fine, but something about the gospel just always touched me more. I just knew there was something more there, something more powerful there. So I mean, I've been doing that for a few years now. Just, really trying to, open up more. I think sometimes we let our jobs, you know, be priority, but I think I can make priority for that too.
Good stuff. Okay. Well, I'm curious. I want to hear your sound. What you think, Lamont?
I definitely want to hear your song.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you about your song. No, not let me tell you about it.
Yeah, like you know.
Let me ask you about how do you, when you do your writing, how do you come up with your story, the song, the message? We already understand the message in itself.
Yeah.
It's a God-giving message. But, are you eating, you know, your dinner and you said, oh, wait, I got this song I want to write?
No, I'm totally different in that aspect because for me, what happens is I might write something and I totally don't know where to go with it. But if I hear a beat or something that's really catchy, that's when I can write through it. I know a lot of other people write blind. They just start writing. But me, I have to say that's not one of my stronger points. I really need to hear like a beat in my head and then give it to the producer, and then they can take it and do some other things with it, and then I can write through it.
Okay. Now the song Sunshine,
mm-hmm.
How did that one come about? Is there a backstory to Sunshine?
I told one of my producers, I was like, I just feel like sunshine. It just kept playing in my head like a tune. And then he wrote some things, and then he'd give it back to me. And then I wrote some things, and we went back and forth because it was definitely a collaborative kind of thing. It wasn't just me. That's Sean Dark Carroll Keys. You know, he's an awesome dude here in Henderson, North Carolina. And that's kind of how we came up with it.
Okay. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to go into Sunshine, and don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back to you, okay?
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Ladies and gentlemen, Kentisha, this is Sunshine here on the Covenant Cafe.
Window pane, those stains can't contain the joy of life I gain.
Sunshine, sunshine within me.
I like that. I like that.
Man, that was pretty dope. It's pretty dope.
I can really see me like feeling myself, not in the bad, not in the arrogant way, but like driving in the car, Sunday vibe, chilling, feeling good about what's about today. That's dope.
Timeless peace.
It kind of reminded me of that a little bit like a TLC, the 90s TLC production, how their production used to be, kind of sort of like that. The heart of music, when music was like, when hip hop was just, that's what's up. Hip hop and R&B was kind of like, I can let me and my baby sister can listen to this music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna plug our ears up. You know what I'm saying?
Like I said, there's no time stamp on this sound right here.
Right.
You can't say, oh, this is, you know, you can play this 10 years from now. It's still go.
Yeah, it's I love feel good music, so I'm hoping to make, you know, some more of that with other kind of mixes. But I love feel good kind of music, you know, that everybody can listen to, bump their head to. So
you did it on that one.
So
I have to ask if any of our listeners or any audience, anybody in the audience wants to purchase the song, how can they get access to it?
Actually, they can go on Reverb right now is where I'm doing it. They can purchase it. I think it's like 99 cents for the track.
Mm-hmm.
That's right now that's what I'm selling. Yeah.
Okay,
cool. Reverb Nation, and just put my name in. There you go.
That's what it is. Can you spell your name so everybody can catch that?
Yeah, it's K-E-N, it's a Nancy, T-I-S-H-A.
All right, cool, because we do have some listeners that's not familiar with unique names. Like, what?
Okay.
Is it Kendra?
Yeah, I know, right? I know, I get it all. Keisha, Kentisha, yeah, I get it all.
That's what's up. So even furthermore, we want to know how we can support you. Are there any websites, Twitter, Facebook? How can we get in touch with you? How can we follow you? How can we go to your events? How can we buy your music? We really want to be in tune and be a fan of Kentisha, not Kendra.
Yeah. Well, hey, yeah, if Kendra's out there, hey, shout out to her too.
Shout out to Kendra out there.
You know, hey, she got something going. Hey, I'm all for it. But yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook as well. And then on Reverb, if they're a fan, I usually will put all my dates and things that I'm doing there, working on some new stuff. So I'll be updating that really soon with even newer music. So yeah, so Facebook and Reverb Nation for right now. So yeah.
Okay, what was your what is this, the link to your Facebook?
It's Facebook, and it's just it's Kentisha. It's the whole name again, and then my last name is Harrison. It's Harrison. So I have my music page there.
Okay.
I just liked your page. I'm telling you, I'm on it.
Okay.
I'm on it.
Ooh, thank you.
That's how we're rocking. Okay. All right. So I have to ask you the $1 million question now.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't asked this in a long time. Do you know how, or can you, fry chicken?
Oh yeah, I can fry some chicken. Come on, man.
That was such confidence. Yes.
And you ought to be ashamed if you can't fry chicken now.
Yeah. Funny.
See, I'm a chicken connoisseur, and I'm trying to find the best artist that can fry chicken, and we're going to have this chicken cook-off concert in the middle of the United States. And,
okay.
And it's going to be, like, awesome. But I'm going to be a judge.
Oh,
and
okay.
Y'all going to cook.
I can perform. Well, look, you asked for a lot now. You want to perform and fry some chicken? All right, now.
And you're going to give me a ride to the event.
Oh, man. You asked for a lot.
Matter of fact, y'all can sponsor. I'm just going to be there.
And
there it
is. I'm going to have to talk to my manager about that one. Yeah, it's getting a little difficult now. So.
He might be cool with it. You never know.
Uh-huh.
He wants some chicken too.
Wow.
But I'm going to turn you into Lamont. You hit a lot of things on the head. Matter of fact, I do have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
What is some of the most interesting times that you went through in the midst of your ministry?
Let's see, interesting.
And when I say, I know interesting is kind of broad, so I would say, I guess you can give me a story of something funny and a story of something tough, because a lot of times when people want to be an artist or any kind of professional, they see the glamour, they see the lights, they hear the music, but they don't understand that production can take a whole week. And they don't understand that there's a lot of ups and downs in the midst of you pushing, whether it be with people or the actual craft itself. And then on top of that, they see the glamour and stuff, but they don't see that you're going to have some funny encounters as well. So, you know, I want to balance it out with the humor and also the trials and tribulations.
Yeah. Trials and tribulations. I think anytime that you're a gospel artist and you work with other artists as well, I think that's just in anything, gospel, secular, whatever. I think you can bump heads with people. I try to keep myself humble because I have, you know, had some issues with others that are not so humble. You know, I think they can sing the best run or they can do this or out sing you. You know, I'm so not for that. But, you know, I like that unity and, you know, support and all that. But, yeah, I bump heads, you know, with some other artists, you know, basically, you know, talking. Our mouths would get us in trouble. So, I won't go into detail about that, but that is something, hey, sometimes you just got to let people go because, you know, we were friends at first, and I think both of us were singing together, and we just had to, you know, part and go our own ways. So, yeah, I wish her success, but, yeah, you know, it was a hurtful break. As far as funniness goes, I can say, you know, church, you know, I have a large church and, you know, we were having this concert we were supposed to do, and I think all of us are just, you know, overwhelmed out so much that we were trying to learn, and we got up there and the guy just totally forgot the words and we were trying to whisper him the words, and you know, it was funny, you know, because it was a Fred Hammond song and, you know, everybody knew the song. It was just like, we can't believe that you forgot this, but it was all in good fun and humor, people in the congregation. They got with it. We have technical difficulties with our minds sometimes. So, but it happens. But, you know, there's good and bad, you know. But, you know, what's more good, you know, when you know you're doing it for God. So it's all about Him and not about us so much.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn you over to Lamar. You said you hit a lot on the head, and we thank you for your transparency.
Absolutely. And we just like to thank you for coming on our show. We really appreciate it. And maybe one time I can open for you. I do stand-up comedy, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
So open,
cool.
Yeah, open up for Ken Tisha. That'd be a great deal.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. I mean, yeah. I hope to next year to have to do my opening for my CD, so I will definitely be looking you up because I'm going to need somebody, you know, at my CD release party. I don't mind having a comedian. I love it. You know, it's all been fun.
Absolutely. You can hit me up on Facebook under Lamont A. Ferguson. I know, like I said, I just like your page. So hit me up anytime and we can chat.
Okay, Lamont A. Ferguson. All right, I'll be looking for you.
All right, and you have a great evening, okay? And take it light.
All right. Thank you so much for having me and listening to my music and being supportive. I appreciate that more than you know.
Absolutely, and definitely before you go, we definitely have to, you got to look out for those guys when we open that door. They got a lot of signs out there with your name on it, so make sure you don't get caught up into that, okay?
I sure will. All right, yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm
going to
open the door. Yeah, the guy right there with the blue hat on, you got to watch him.
I will.
You have a good evening. We really appreciate you calling in, okay?
All right, thank you, both of you. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Cool people.
Yeah, definitely a classic sound. It took me back to the 90s. You know, I make it sound like I'm like 80 years old, like back in the 90s.
Going back to 1954, when I had the Cadillac with the big grill.
Oh, yeah.
But what we're going to do is we're going to go take a musical break, and we'll come back into the weird news. I saw Deacon. I'm not going to get into what I saw him at. He wasn't somewhere inappropriate, but anyway. But we're going to come back after these messages. But like I said, we'll come back with Weird News. This is your host, Lamar Ferguson, and
Poetic Life.
And what we're going to do, this is a rare thing that we really, really, really haven't done before. We're going to play this song back to back. It's a dope song by Kentisha. The name of the song is what?
Sunshine.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Just in case you're tuning in, it's Kentisha Sunshine here on the Covenant Cafe.
Similar to Bruce Leroy, let this be the guiding light to the Abba. As this world turns like a soap opera, cloudy days don't even feel the same. I got the sun in me, I can stand the rain. Ha, 'cause Christ reigns on my window pane. Those stains can't contain the joy of life I've gained.
Sunshine here on the Covenant Cafe. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Sunday's edition of the Covenant Cafe, the only edition of the Covenant Cafe.
The Covenant Cafe.
Okay. So today,
hey, I have some stories for you this time. I do have some stories. Now, these are interesting because you mentioned several names in the midst of this show thus far. So, because I have these stories, I thought that we should touch them.
All right. Okay.
So, first question. This is all I want you to keep this in your mind as I read the story.
Okay.
Is he greedy?
Okay.
Wow. All right. Keep that in mind. All right. So, man allegedly extorted Paula Deen.
What?
So, FBI agents on Friday morning arrested 62-year-old man who they say tried to extort Paula Deen by threatening to divulge true and damning information about the embattled celebrity chef unless he was paid to keep quiet. Thomas George Palacio, was taken into custody without incident in Utica, New York, by FBI agents and deputies from Tompkins County Sheriff's Office, FBI said in a press release. There was no answers later Friday to a phone number linked to him in the FBI criminal's complaint, nor was there any immediate response from email address in the same document. The former Augusta, Savannah, Georgia resident appeared before the federal New York before he started like, by noon, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so the story basically goes on about his background, so I'm not going to read all of that to you guys. But this is my thing. Is he greedy? For right now, in politics, what's going on with Paula Deen and everything, for him to just come out of nowhere and say, hey, dog, if you don't pay me, I'm going to put out more of your business. It's going to tear you down more.
Yeah, he's greedy.
I'm like, wow.
Because she's already being torn down.
Exactly.
Your news is not going to help the situation.
Exactly.
Or, you know, I mean, I know you're not trying to help the situation, but your news is not going to be like, oh, wow, really? Not after the stuff that's out there now. Absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, wow. Yeah, he's greedy.
He did that. He gets the
greedy bomb.
He did that. So next up, I want to give a salute. I mentioned this during the week, but I definitely have to do it verbally. I want to give a salute to all the Christians who are going bold and standing firm in our faith, even though they are receiving persecution or even life-threatening actions. So this story is in Seattle, gay pride participants viciously beat Christian street preacher. I watched the video during the week, like I said, but this is just a quick little background. A street preacher was repeatedly punched and kicked by two men at the Seattle Pride Fest this Sunday, and the entire confrontation was caught on camera. In disturbing video footage, two Christian street preachers can be seen standing on a grassy area. One of the preachers holds a sign that says, "Jesus saves and heals," and "Repent or else," while the other holds a Bible. At the beginning of the video, a large man approaches the two preachers while another woman repeatedly shoves the man carrying the Bible and demands that the two men leave. Now, this is where it really trips me out. This is very similar to another crime. The incident is reminiscent of an episode that took place in last year's Toronto Pride Parade, also caught on camera, where a street preacher was surrounded by a mob of angry pride marchers. However, in that case, the police took the side of the pride participants, telling the street preachers, "You're promoting hate." The police ultimately compelled David Lynn and his team from Christ Forgiveness Ministries to leave the area and stop preaching. The Seattle attack is another example, is an increasing string of violence by homosexual activists. It was only thanks to the heroic actions of a security guard at the Family Research Council that a gay activist intent on killing employees at the organization was stopped in his deadly assault. So this is what that portion was the last August. But from what I just read, this took place July 4th. So what's crazy is that, you know, how do you deem a man for preaching Christ? It's only two people. How do you deem a man of being of hatred, preaching hate?
Mm.
But they were the ones that attacked him.
Yeah.
And if you watch the video, you will see that he didn't fight back. So you have a guy, he's getting pushed, he's getting shoved, punched, and all he's doing is standing there with a sign.
Mm.
So I say that to inform everybody that warfare is already picked up. It's already kicked off. So don't look around or wondering what, you know, when the last days come, you know, I need to start getting ready. They're here. The Bible mm-hmm. talks about how they are going to start hating us for speaking truth and how they're going to prefer deception over the truth. Like, come on, like, what was the need of bashing these men?
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, I want to put emphasis on that it's time to choose sides. You can't ride the fence no more. It's either you're either a believer or you're a non-believer. You with
but
God
you know
or you with Satan.
You know what's interesting, and I want to say what's funny.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, a lot of people say the President Barack Obama is a part of the deception.
I'm not going to say anything on it because even the Bible says do not speak out about your leaders. That's someone
mm-hmm.
here. You know, you never
yeah.
do that. But I can say that, because this is an open topic, I do not agree with him using the inauguration to show his favoritism towards homosexuality and being, I'm trying to choose my words very carefully, exalting same-sex marriage. I do not
mm-hmm.
agree with that, nor I do, because he's the first president to ever, during a presidential inauguration, to announce his, you know, his side with same-sex marriage, and for him to announce it before the inauguration as well, that's not Christian values, nor is it the foundation of this country. This country has not been, and you can argue with me all day, but it is not the foundation of this country, because if it was the foundation of the country, then it would have been incorporated in the birth of this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't speak anything against our leader, because he's still our leader as far as the country goes. He's, you know, God has allowed him to his position that where he is. So it's not that, but I do disagree with some of
the choices
made.
Mm.
And right. So anything, and I can say this: anything that's pro Bible, anything that's anti Bible, anti God, anti Christ. I am against it.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that clearly. Anything. And I don't care who it's from. Even if a pastor was to say something that was anti-Christ, I am against that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says if an angel was to come down and to teach you a doctrine that's contrary to what we're speaking of Jesus Christ, you curse that angel. So it don't matter who you are. If you say anything that's contrary to the doctrine that the Holy God has given us, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, then I will not follow that, and I will not bow to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say that.
True. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's, you know, okay, how can we say this? Carefully.
Yeah.
We don't want our show banned. But however,
and the thing is, it's not even the fear of the show. It's not even the fear of the show getting canceled. It's more so the reverence of leadership, because Ecclesiastic speaks on it. Because that's a Bible belief. Now, if the Bible that said, you know, tear up your leaders when they're wrong, et cetera, then cool. You know, I will rip it. I will say what I have to say. But in respect and reverence of what the Holy Spirit has told us, then that's what, you know, that's what we're coming at.
Oh, pretty much where I'm going at is
right.
That I've heard, so you know, you read things, and so many people have said, you know, you have your conspiracy theories,
mm-hmm.
and they say that, you know, that he is the beginning of the end, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
because of the choices that are being made,
mm-hmm.
And how they are treating the the situation of homosexuality being equivalent to the civil rights, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, me personally, I don't believe that it is equivalent to the civil mm-hmm. rights.
Hell no, it ain't.
You know what I'm saying? Because
hell no, it ain't.
I'm going to have to play the devil's advocate. Now, here it is.
Okay.
The line where someone's discriminating upon your sex, then that's a civil rights issue. Now, the whole thing on a whole, no, because simply because black people did not choose to be black.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe that you make a choice to be with one sex or another. Some people believe that you were born with it. You know, well, however, I believe you make that conscious choice. So, in that realm, it's nowhere near the civil rights. No,
mm-hmm.
Even on another level, I haven't seen anyone say you can't sit at the front of the bus. I haven't
mm-hmm.
seen nowhere it says you can't enter the side of the building. I
mm-hmm.
haven't seen any of that. You can't drink out of this water fountain. You have to drink out of that water. You know what I'm saying? So you can't really compare the whole entire homosexuality thing equivalent to.
Right.
There's only a drop out of
mm-hmm.
out of a big bucket. There's only a drop of equivalent.
Right.
Not the same. That's
correct.
All I'm gonna go. That's all I'm gonna go with that.
I definitely agree. Going into what you said more too. Okay. First, I'll say this. I'll say the scripture so you guys can know what I was quoting. It comes from Ecclesiastes 10:20, which says, "Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird flight may tell the matter." So, you know, we show respect and reverence. And even in John, further down in the Bible, in the New Testament, he talks about having respect for those who are in leadership and et cetera, et cetera. So, boom. So, we, you know, that's why we're not dissing or anything like that. So it's not a diss. This is just us, you know, voicing an opinion. But going into what you said, I definitely agree that this is just for information, but I definitely agree with this is the beginning of the end based off of choices. I really feel that a lot of the choices being made now, and this is all parallel with the last days that the Bible has prophesied or the beginning of the rise of the Antichrist and whatnot. Not saying our president is the Antichrist, because he's not the Antichrist. I can tell you that, and I can give you a list of reasons why, but please inbox me after the show for that. Anyway, going down into it, how can I say this? A lot of the choices are made. I mean, if you see how it is, how the economy is slipping more, and the whole thing about the homosexual thing, it's not a war. Like, we're not like, oh, I hate gays and gays going to hell. It's that's not the mindset. The problem is the homosexuality, the spirit itself, it deems a person to believe that they can do whatever they feel with
mm-hmm.
no condemnation. They can
mm-hmm.
do whatever they please, when they please, how they please. So instead of going by the nature of a man being with a woman and causing production through, you know, reproduction, they can't reproduce and have kids and be fruitful and multiply, et cetera, nobody understands me but somebody that's made like me, so I'm going to be with them. I'm going to do as I feel. This is how I feel today. This is what it is. Instead
mm-hmm.
of what you are supposed to be operating in. And, I mean, that's where it starts at, and then it goes from, I hate this person, I feel like killing them. And I'm not saying it's the same person who's gay will be a murderer, because a heterosexual will be a murderer. But what I am saying is a likeness spirit as far as do what you feel, when you feel, how you feel. Because if God says do this, and you do that because this is how you feel, or this is what it is, now we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. So now we're moving out of self-discipline. We're moving out of accountability. We're moving out of just the whole submission. Give thyself to God. Put it on the altar. Put your struggles on the altar. There are things that I feel like doing, that I want to do. There are many things that I would love to say, But I can't because I am under the governance and of God, and I have submitted that and I have placed things on the altar. So that's the spirit that I'm really speaking against because, like God, like I think I told you guys before how God had checked me. I walked into a room and I looked to the left and I saw my mom was watching RuPaul, watching Drag Race. She was watching that show. And the first thing I said was, And God said, why did you make that noise? And I didn't get a chance to respond because the Holy Spirit was convicting me. And the Holy Spirit said, would you laugh at a man that's blind, that fell in a ditch? And I was like, nah, he's blind. It's not his fault. So the Lord said the same thing. He said, well, they're blind, they're lost. They haven't been filled with knowledge. No one is talking to them or giving them understanding or walking them through. They're lost. Why are you laughing at a condition that's not positive? You know what I mean? So with that being said, I'm saying all that to say that I'm not condemning anyone, but I am saying that I don't commend it, and I'm going by for what God says for us, what God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
Not for my personal feeling. My personal feelings is gross. Ugh, what can you get out of it? What are you getting out of? And women too. What do you get from somebody that has everything that you got? How can that please you? It's got to be a clash there. I don't even like chilling with my homeboys very long. I'd rather kick it with my woman for the most part. She has something I don't have. She can give me something. She gives, and that's the problem. That's what people don't like about the whole thing about marriage and commitment, because that's the challenge. I have one perspective as a male, and women have another perspective as a female. So the one way I see it, she sees it another way. So she's going to challenge me, and people don't like to be challenged. But she's going to challenge me with, like, example. There was a situation with a member of her family, and her family member, this member in particular, drinks, and it's kind of wild. So the member lost the phone, and she was calling her. My girlfriend was calling her, like, hey, you know, calling to check up on her. So my girlfriend calls me and is like, you know, I'm worried about her, da-da-da. And my first instinct was, well, we know she drinks. We know she does that. She probably lost her phone. She'll turn up tomorrow morning. And that's what I said. And my girlfriend was hurt, like, yeah, bye. And she hung up. She's like, I got to go, Lace. I don't want to talk. And I'm like, what's wrong? So I got the phone with her and let her get off the phone. I'm like, she's tripping. And the Lord checked me. And the Lord said, where was your compassion? She's really concerned. So when I called her back, I had to apologize. Like, hey, you know, I wasn't sensitive. I'm sorry. And she said, yeah, you wasn't. So look at our perspectives. Her perspective is, you know, there could be something seriously wrong. Where's your compassion? Where's your concern? Let's figure this out. Comfort me in this. Give me strength. Mm-hmm. Do not bash it. My perspective as a man was, hey, you know, we know how she is. We know how she was. She's probably going to be that way tomorrow. So this is what more than likely happened. The end of the story was she did lose her phone. That's what did happen. But it wasn't about me being right, because I never said when she told me the next day, like, yeah, she had lost the phone. I'm like, okay, thank God she's okay. So now look what her perspective did to my perspective. Instead of me saying, see, I told you so, I was like, thank God she's okay. So now God used her to teach me sensitivity. And probably she never said it, but maybe God used her to use logic. Let's not get caught up in our emotions. Let's see, okay, let's just look at it in a broad perspective. Therefore, I won't be worried next time this happens. So both of us learned a lesson. One, I need you to be more sensitive. And two, you got to be more logical. This is something that the opposite sex brings to the table. And you can't get that from talking to the same people, all the same type of people all the time, or the same gender all the time. That's why I have female and male friends, so I can get a different perspective, so I can gain understanding and knowledge and all that from different areas. So even now I take that deeper as far as with the whole thing with marriage. Yeah, I cannot be with one person that's like me in every aspect for the rest of my life and expect to grow. Can't. And that can grow as a family growth, because we can't multiply. So that's a family growth. A mental growth as far as perspective, because I just gave you the analogy of a man and wife's perspective, a man and a woman's perspective. And these are the major keys. And then on top of that, let's talk about a spiritual growth. You're hindering yourself. Whenever we are indulged in sin, we hinder our own growth when we are indulged in sin. point blank, period, because sin is rebellion against God, and that's what separates us. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ washing our sins and bridging that gap for us, we would not today have communion with God. That's why we don't have to go to a priest. Mm-hmm. That's why we don't have to do all this stuff, because Jesus Christ. So I say all of that to say is that you hinder yourself by doing things that's in rebellion. And on top of that, let's say you're not married, but you're practicing same-sex relationships, which is on the physical end. You enter into another kind of sin now, because you're also having sex. Not only are you doing the abomination part of same-sex, but now you're having sex before marriage, because people are going to deal with their different struggles. You got people that deals with smoking, people that deals with gambling, people that deals with their struggling. And that's not what keeps them back from the kingdom of God if they put it on the altar. But when you act in those struggles, now we're talking about rebellion. So you got people who are struggling with homosexuality, and then they fulfill their needs with their, quote, their wants and desires. They fulfill those evil desires by sleeping with one another. So now we really have a problem now. What can you argue? Because as a heterosexual man, I can't even have sex with my girlfriend until I get married.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can't even argue that. You shouldn't be having sex, period.
Period. Period.
So it's more to it. And so I tie all that to say is it's a spirit that says, I want to do how I feel, when I feel, why I feel.
Mm-hmm.
As I feel. That's what it is. I don't care what nobody say. I don't have to answer anybody. And a lot of people that's dealing with that spirit, they like self-discipline. They don't have any kind of accountability, and they always have the perfect excuses. I don't want to go to church because they judge me. This used to kill me. I ain't going to church because they look at me funny. Bro, I used to go to the club with you, bro. They used to look at you funny in there. So you chose to be on the devil's turf and get looked at funny there instead of get looked at funny in God's house? I heard a comedian say something so funny the other day. He said, he was like, the guy was like, church, man, they talk about me. Well, stop giving the church something to talk about. You acting a fool in the streets. You giving the people something to talk about, because the people outside the church are talking about you too. So what you think? You're going to be a fool everywhere you go and think nobody's going to say anything? That's not even using wisdom. Even God's people are going to say something. You see it in the Bible. You will see when somebody acted up, it got written down.
Mm-hmm.
David slept with Bathsheba. It was wrote in Scripture. How do I know David slept with Bathsheba? Because it was written in Scripture. He acted out. There it is. And he got her pregnant. Got another man's wife pregnant. So he did something that was worth talking about. So people of God are going to talk if you give them something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't saying people have got a right for doing it, but I am saying there's the accountability on people. Like if I do something, you never heard me blame in my homeless situation. You never heard me blame anybody. I never blamed God. I never blamed anybody, because at the end of the day, it was a choice that I made. I made the choice to go to Miami, to continue my life, pursuing a degree, to do better for myself. I made a choice, and when life hit me, it hit me, but
now,
it wasn't nobody's fault.
People, and also there's a thing called, when you make your, there are consequences with your decision. And to me, consequences don't always have to be looked at in a negative light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? By you going down there, it just happened that you're in the homeless, but however, it led to other things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there are, behind each decision that you make, there's going to be something else on the other side of that decision, whether it's
right,
positive or whether it's a negative. There is something that's going to come out of that.
Right.
So either you can choose to focus in on it or you don't. I mean, look at Tyler Perry. And this guy was homeless, right?
Right.
He lived out of his car. I mean, now you don't have to worry about living out of a car ever.
Right.
Unless he just spends every last dime, every penny that he has. But most likely he won't do that. But I'm just saying, he didn't focus on his homelessness.
Right.
The thing that had him at a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or people, you don't have to be homeless at being at a disadvantage and not focus on it.
Right.
You can be like, man, shoot, I wanna do this, you know, comedy and writing thing, but being married and I got kids, I can't do it. I just got to go to work. And that's that. You know, it's, okay, so there are a ton of people out there that are actors, writers, singers, you know, kind of that have families. So why, because mm-hmm. you have a family, why can't you do it?
Exactly.
Well, there are a lot of people that accept, okay, they accept having a family as opposed to losing their dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Putting on their family. The reason why, you know, the reason why I didn't become a football player because I had a child, or the reason why I didn't become a basketball player because I got married. Huh? Really? So that just changed everything.
Right.
That just changed, you know. There's a component that changes, yes, but it, mm-hmm. it's not a component of giving up on what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So whatever, you can't choose to focus on something negative that's going to mess you up in the long run. Recently, I put on my Facebook, God didn't give you a gift to sit around with. He gave you a gift to use.
Right.
So get out there, use it before you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, it don't always have to be entertainment. Whether you're a chef, whether you have a lawn care service, whatever your desire is in the positive light, don't sit around. You know, you have a green thumb. You know how to arrange flowers as a guy. Most guys don't, but that's
right.
what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
Why not open up a floral shop?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Why
mm-hmm.
not? If you don't want to open up a floral shop, why you can't walk out, you can work out your backyard and go sell it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, arrangers. You know, people pay a lot of money for floor arrangers.
Exactly.
For weddings, especially weddings. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Come on now. So, you know, there are various gifts that people have been given, and either you choose to use it or you don't. You might be
sure.
a great detective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to help the local police department.
Man, right.
You know, I was good at, you know, this when I was in school. I used to love, philosophy. You know, I used to love all these, you know, levels of interesting subjects or whatever that may lead you to be a detective. And then
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, like, well, I got married, I had kids, so I just got this job over here, work at a shipyard or something, just so I could make ends meet. Oh, so now you just gave up being a detective.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
In some cases, I definitely I support those kind of decisions. So, example, I was talking to a young man the other day, and you know, he was talking about how he, you know, he was looking forward to being a full-time artist and whatnot. And I told him to, you know, really consider what it is that you're doing or what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And the reason why, because it's like, to be an artist, full-time artist, there has been times that I have been not only a full-time artist, but being a man of God, incorporated with that. But there have been times I was just like, Lord, I can't keep this up because I want to start a family. I want to marry my girl, and I want to be able to give her time. But I can't do that with I'm always on the road, or I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And so to go on, it depends on occupation now, because you have like police hours. I could not be a police officer and be with and have a wife. That's just me though, because on my end I see the hours they have to put in and have to get called in. Or I couldn't be a doctor and do it because
mm-hmm.
I spend more hours. They do 72-hour shifts sometimes. And there are times where I go on a road and there's nothing to it because I can bring my lady on a road if she wants to come. I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But to be a doctor and
spend
more.
That does that.
Yeah,
when
you
he,
can actually
he,
do that.
Yeah, when he goes on a road, if he goes out of town, because, you know, when he does a show, they pay for
mm-hmm.
the hotel. They pay for coming there.
Right.
So he brings his family. It's a free vacation.
Exactly. So I can do. Yeah, that's cool, but it's certain occupations to where it's like, okay, I can't do that because God does give us a choice to make. It's our choice.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely not knocking with what you say at all. But in some instances, you know, for all those who are listening, like, dang, I messed up. Like, no, if you chose a family over that, then it is what it is. But remember that you do have a gift. You still have that gift, and God is expecting you to use it. This is what you're supposed to use. So, here's an example. So, let's just say I have a, you know, I have the gift of poetry and artistry, rap or whatever, whatever you want to call it, arranging music and all this stuff. And I don't want to be a full-blown artist, and God has given me a choice to not be one. But I still have the gift. And I remember the Lord had challenged me on that. Well, how can I use it? I can at least write songs for people. I can go to a poetry spot and share every now and then, take my lady with me, and I share the poetry at a poetry spot. Or I can put up poems or statuses that are all leading towards Christ. There's something with the gift that can still be done, because the whole point is you have this gift, and it is for the edifying of the body of Christ. It is for the building up. It is not something that you have and you sit at home with it. Yeah, man, and I used to make me mad about that too. Yeah, man, I could do this, and I just don't do it, man. I'm just chilling. I'm like, bro, you got this gift that I know a lot of people want. You just sit at home with it?
Just sit at home.
And what you do? Now, you know, I just work this little gig, man, this little gig just to, you know, make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
But you got this gift here. Like, even if you can't focus on it, because everybody doesn't have the passion or the drive to go full-blown into what their craft is or their gift is or whatever it may be to make it a success or something to live off of. Even if that's not what your calling is,
mm-hmm.
you still have it. And you just do have it and you don't do anything with it?
You know, yeah. That's nothing.
It's not acceptable. That's one of those seconds where you just take a breath.
I don't think I should answer that. What you think?
Why not? Maybe you shouldn't answer it right now. It is almost 8 o'clock.
Yeah, we have a guest. And you know what? He's wearing a blue hat. I'm wondering if that was him when we had Katisha on early. Remember I was saying, be careful with the gentleman with the blue hat?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, he might. That might. You know what? I'm not going to see. You know how you sneak a peek and you think the person still sees?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he saw me through the window. He just bought his crystal.
That's how we should be with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Hold on. Well, let's go to our line. We have a caller on our line. It's that time. Ladies and gentlemen, you're on the air to come to the cafe.
Hey, how are you doing? This is Mira Mira calling the interview.
Hello.
Mira Mira on the wall.
Mira Mira on the wall. That's hilarious. We'd like to say thank you. Always got to keep that door closed. A lot of people out there. We'd like to say thank you for calling in on this Sunday at 8 p.m. Can we say that?
Thank you for having me.
Yes. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson. Now, Poetic Lace will be doing the interview portion of this of the show. So take it away.
So for starters, I actually know this artist personally. I don't even know where to start, but we truly met as far as talking and meeting in person. It was a label that was in pursuit of both of us, and we're like, oh, you from Jackson? I'm from Jacksonville. Kind of talked from there, and as time went on, she hits me up, and we were kind of conversing about her crossing over into the gospel realm. She's a phenomenal artist, and she crosses over, and she goes hard immediately. Got some people who are like, they'll put their foot in the water, like a pool is cold, and they take their foot out. But she jumped straight in the pool. So definitely commending you as a woman of God and encouraging you to definitely keep pressing forward. Man, we are excited to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I just want to thank you guys for having me and just personally thank you. You know, being a mentor and a friend for me as I, you know, in this walk and this journey.
Aw. Well, now that that's out of the way, because we ain't going to get mushy. That's out of the way. We're going to do something blind. So we're going to pretend that we don't know who Miramir is. Like, I didn't promote you. I never talked with you. Didn't hear your music. Never spoke on you. There's nothing to it. So we want to know, who is Miramir?
All right. Basically, you know, I think I'm a lot of things. You know, I'm a wife, I'm a mother. You know, I'm an artist. But you know, I'm a woman of God. But at the same time, you know, I'm still learning. And I'm still trying to know who he is. And I'm just somebody who just kind of, you know, took that leap of faith and kind of gave up what I knew, who I was, follow like, you know, this calling that I feel that I have. And so, like you said, I kind of just all the way in. I dove in, you know, on faith, and that's where I'm at right now. Pursue Christian hip hop right now. And like I said, I'm new to this, so you know, I'm learning, and I'm at things where I just want to know who God is, and I want to know him more, and build a relationship with him. And in my journey, I'm writing music.
Good stuff. So you're saying, one thing you said that's going to touch a lot of people is the fact of how you're talking about how you're learning, you're trying to get to know him more, your conversion from one side to another, which would be secular to gospel or whatever. We want to know, what's your testimony? Where did the pulling begin? What made you say, you know what I'm doing is not what's up, this is what I need to do now? What did you go through? We want to know a little bit about your story. What have you been through? Because there are people out there who are like, they see you doing your thing, but they're like, you know what? That's her. I can't do that because I'm stuck where I'm at.
Yeah, well, basically, you know, to kind of get into that, like, you know, I was raised, you know, who God was, and you know, and knowing about Bible, knowing what he's going to be doing, following in God will get you. But you know, at the same time, I feel like, you know, I fell away from that because, you know, as a young person in the church, like I saw things that I didn't like, and I allowed people to chase me out the church because I didn't love them, and I didn't act like them, and I didn't talk like them, and you know, people were stuck on religion. So I was trying to, you know who God was, and you know, things that I saw and things like that. You know, what I really felt, even though I was a little sinner, it didn't seem like, you know, who I thought God was. So I allowed all that to keep me, you know, out of the church. So, you know, I would go to church here and there and all that, and I kept my beliefs, and nobody could shake me from what I believed. But, you know, I just wasn't living the life as God wants to live it. I wasn't glorifying. I was, you know, I was glorifying other things. And, you know, moving to Jacksonville and, you know, to a meeting, like, I was in the world and of the world, you know what I mean? I was in VIP and smoking and drinking and partying and, you know, YOLO and all. Like, that was how I was living my life. But there was moments where, you know, God spoke to me in a club and the music was blasting and I heard nothing but the voice of God. Like, what are you doing? You know, why are you here? You know, I gave you a gift. Like, what are you doing? And, like, just I can remember different moments in my life. I was born, and it was just slow motion. I saw people dancing and music. I sat down, and I watched people doing this stuff. And it was very profound, but I ignored them. Like, I ignored them. Like, you know what? Let me keep doing what I'm, you know, I'm not going to listen to this. This is craziness, God. You know, I'll see you later. You know how we do? Like, I'll come to you later.
Yeah,
I'm
live
this life. You know, I'm young. You know, I got plenty of time. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what I did. You know, and then finally, God, like, spoke to me. He's like, okay, are you done? Sit down, you know, sit down and listen. And I wrote Conflicted. I was at that point. Like, I was, you know me as a secular artist. you know, I was known mm-hmm. around Jacksonville. People knew me from my performance and how I rapped and, you know, and all that stuff. You know, I got the nickname, like, people just knew, you know. I started to get, you know, notoriety, and I was going into, you know, a radio promotion with a secular song, and, you know, things were buzzing and going hot. And, you know, God spoke to me, was like, this is not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be doing but you're not supposed to be doing this type of music, worldly music. You're supposed to do music that blew up by me and bring people to me, make me acceptable to those people who were like you, who didn't, you know, the church takes them away, or, you know, or they felt less, or felt like they come to God in their sin and things like that. These are the people that you're supposed to be reaching out to. So I woke up quickly and I was like, you know, one foot in and one foot out of hell is what I call it. Like, you know, I wanted to do music and I wanted to do all that, but God was like, you need to follow me. It's time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the conflict that came out of it. Like, I knew what I had to do, but I was still kind of like holding on to my, I didn't want to do it 100%. And then I went from confliction to conviction. And that's where I'm at right now.
That's good. That's really good. I know a lot of people, including myself, have dealt with the confliction of these are the ways of the world, but this is what God is demanding out of us. And it's a choice that we have to make. So you just released a new single, Confliction. I mean, Conflicted. you pretty much just gave us a background on this song. Is there anything else you want to add into it before I toss you to Lamont so we can get into it?
Really, you know, like you said, I kind of went in kind of what it was, but I just really wanted people to know where I was at whenever I wrote this song, and I feel like it's universal because everybody who's following God went through the same thing. I don't think anybody woke up and was like, okay, you know, let's, you know, put everything away, it's cool, you know. I feel like we all, you know, were conflicted at one point, you know, in time. So this song right here is giving my testimony where I'm now, hopefully will help other people to break free as well.
All right.
Man,
I want to hear it.
Man,
I'm ready to hear it.
I'm just saying, the song is dope. The song is dope. But no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, and also we're going to come back to you after your song, okay? So don't go anywhere, all right?
Okay.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mirror Mirror. The name of the song is Conflicted here on the Covenant Cafe.
Nightmare, my future was a terror. I had all I ever wanted. Walk around stunting. People so envious, I had what they wanted. Drinking on the weekend, smoking on occasion. Took a shot to go on stage, so I could feel amazing. Lying to myself, hurting God's feelings. Raised in the church, me and Jesus look familiar. So the path that I'm hiking, my grandma wouldn't like it. She said, baby, no better. But why can I do better? Is the cousin more accessible than him?
Well,
or hell seems like it's just a how the gospel clean, not the real word. So what was being taught to me? I strayed from it, so I was raised on it. I know I need it like Ebonics needs funding. I know I'm no good, I know my life is sinful. Is your life perfect? Cause mine's got issues. Skeletons that won't stay buried, hate is hard to carry. Can I get a witness? I'm feeling so conflicted.
Conflicted.
Speak to me. I'm feeling so conflicted. The word hasn't misled. The church ain't listening.
trying to go right. My soul was bad and upset, just no peace inside. Speak to me, I'm feeling so conflicted. The word has been misled, the church ain't listening. God says go left, I'm trying to go right. My soul was bad and upset, just no peace inside. Speak to me, I'm feeling so conflicted. The word has been misled, the church ain't listening. God says go left, I'm trying to go right. My soul was bad and upset, just no peace inside. I'm feeling so conflicted.
Wow.
Yo, that song, hey, that song is on my playlist. You hear me? That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? We, and this is, you know, even on encouragement for you, being a female Christian hip hop artist, like, you don't, we don't have that many, if any, that I can't name any. So, you know, you bring something new to it. That's, I mean, the song is dope, and definitely we kind of spoke before, and I was telling you when you asked me about, you know, Christian venues and stuff, I'm like, cuz, you got you got an established name on the secular side, y'all use that. God expects us to use what we have, you know, so use that resource you have and dominate. Take back territories.
Absolutely.
But, hey, that, you already know you have my support.
Wow.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So, you know, going into the next question, before I'm going to toss you to Lamont, I got a couple more questions. One question is, how do you feel? What is your feelings toward, well, since you crossed over from one side to the next, what challenges do you see as you're dealing with? How has the role changed? What is your, how do you feel from being on from one side to the other side?
Honestly, you know, like, I thought there would be a lot more reserve to it, but being that, you know, I was raised to be, you know, in the church and things like that, you know, I see it, you know, I'm very excited about it, you know, and at the same time, like I said, I pretty much had to start all over. And, you know, that'd be a little scary because, you know, I literally started from scratch. I took my videos down, music down, and, you know,
good
all that
stuff.
I never was the female artist that dressed up. I never was a Nicki Minaj. You know what I mean? I was always more like an MC. Like, I was always more of a, always wanted to be a role model and to, you know, and to lead an example. But what better way, what better example that I can than to somebody who's going to lead other people to Christ and to let Christ shine through me. And that's kind of example that, you know, I always wanted to be a really good example, but, you know, found God, and if God put me that way, he's like, okay, now you can do, you know, my name.
Man, I you said something that I'm so, so proud of. I'm glad you shared it. A lot of people, when they cross over from one side or whatever, when they get reborn or they get saved or whatever the case may be, they like to keep their old stuff behind. And the very fact that you brought all of that down, you tore it down, it lets you know, like, you know, I'm believing in who God is in me. I'm ready for a new start. Let's really get it. And I definitely commend you on that, because there are so many artists that I've encountered that their careers aren't really prospering yet because they're still holding on to the old and not realizing that God is ready to do a new thing. So, man, I told you this before. I'm so proud of you. You know, I'm you know, it touches my heart. I feel like a parent. They see their child just blossoming. But, so before I get mushy again, my final question, man, this is the big doozy. This is really important. We really want to support you. We have an audience. We have people that just like, man, the song is dope. Where can I get this song from? How can I come to your events? How can I support you? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. Definitely this is your time to share your information so everybody can get on and they can start supporting.
Right, definitely. I'm on Twitter and IG, Mira Mira Music, M-I-R-A-M-I-R-A Music. I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/MiraMiraFanpage. And then I have a website. The website is www.godshit.com. And then also, Conflicted is on iTunes and Amazon. And just real quick on I Am God's Kid. God's Kid is it's my movement. Basically, I grew up, you know, my dad was in that, still struggles with addiction. He was incarcerated. He know, the majority of my life, like, by allowing being fatherless to just let me feel the way I feel into the choices that I made and the way I allow people to treat me and things like that. But Ephesians 1:5 tells us, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So therefore, none of us are fatherless or childless. You know, none of us are children without parents because we're God's. So that's a movement that I started, and that's a brand that I'm building and I'm trying to build up. And I'm hoping that, you know, people who were like me, who didn't have a father, we got a lot of fatherless children. We got a lot of motherless children. You know, we got a lot of people who feel lost out in that world. And I really hope that this movement, you know, lets them know at an early age, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. People, God loves us. Like, Satan wants us to believe that we are alone all the time. Like, but this movement is telling you, look, it doesn't have to be there. Your mom doesn't have to be there. You are God's kid. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the only thing that I need. So I got the God's Kid, www.iamgodskid.com. Pretty much you can, you know, go on there and check everything that I have going on there. And then with you, my brother, July 26th, perform at the 5th Annual Rhythm and Gospel Awards. So you will be able to see us, you know, on stage and doing what we do best.
Yes. Lamont, you have anything?
Man, she left me speechless, bro. She left me speechless. I knew it was going to happen because I listened to it earlier, and I was like, wow, this is incredible.
Yes.
This is incredible. We'd like to thank you. Thank you for tuning in and calling in and, you know, on your Sunday evening, you know, we just really appreciate that, you know, taking the time away from your fam, you know, whatever else you got going on at this moment. So we definitely appreciate it and definitely love Conflicted. This is pretty dope.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Right now, we're working on a radio promotion, get song on, you know, globally and get first starting, you know, nationally, getting the song. So, you know, I would love to come back and let you guys know, you know, what stations are playing the song and kind of going from there. And, you know, anytime you guys want to have me come back, I would, you know, definitely love to.
Definitely love that. We definitely appreciate it, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right, no problem. You have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Me too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. That's all. I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it came on right, too.
I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
The song is vicious.
Yeah.
So let's go get into a song break. So what we're going to do, this is what we did earlier. Let's just call, we need to have a new segment. If you're going to be interviewing you, we're going to play your song twice.
Yeah.
All right. So we have 10 minutes left, so we do have time to play, and then we come back and we'll give our words to live by. So let's go into it. If you're just tuning in, this is Mirror Mirror Conflicted. It's called the Cafe Replay. How about that?
Yeah, the Cafe Replay.
The Cafe Replay. This is Conflicted. Check it out. It's dope.
Life was a nightmare, my future was a terror. I had all I ever wanted, walk around stunting. People so envious, I had what they wanted. Drinking on the weekend, smoking on occasion. Took a shot to go on stage, so I could feel amazing. Lying to myself, hurting God's feelings. Raised in the church, me and Jesus looked familiar. So the path that I'm hiking, my grandma wouldn't like it. She said, baby, know me better, but why can I do better? Is the cousins more accessible than him? Like it's just pretend. I can't stand hypocrisy, that's how the gospel seems. Not the real word, so what was being taught to me? I strayed from it, so I was raised on it. I know I need it like Ebonics needs bonnet. I know I'm no good, I know my life is sinful. Is your life perfect? Cause mine's got issues. Skeletons, I won't say bury hate, it's hard to keep.
walk into the kingdom. I live for the night, like there was no tomorrow. Not even thinking I may never see tomorrow. Sitting out there like knees to an altar. Whoever thought I'd find my knees to the altar. Running from you, gotten so lost. Trying to be what I'm not, causing up problems. Wanting to make the world smile, but what about your tears? Lord, I'm sorry if I caused you any tears. You sent your son to save the world and I ignored him. My only focus was a stardom. Bills won't pay themselves, no food on the shelves. Money is the motivation, root of all evil. Now I live for the one who died for his people. Can I get a witness? I'm feeling so conflicted. Seems to me, I'm feeling so conflicted. The world has been misled, the church ain't listening. God says go left, I'm trying to go right. My soul is bad in the flesh, there's no peace in sight. Speak to me, I'm feeling so conflicted. The world has been misled, the church ain't listening. God says go left, I'm trying to go right. My soul is bad in the flesh, there's no peace in sight. Speak to me, I'm feeling so conflicted. The world has been misled, the church ain't listening. God says go left, I'm trying to go right. My soul is bad in the flesh, there's no peace in sight. Speak to me, I'm feeling so conflicted. The world has been misled, the church ain't listening. God says go left, I'm trying to go right.
Yo, that yeah. Right there, that's part of the cafe replay.
Yeah.
So, dope. I mean, it just, it had that vibe, like, it's...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, both of the artists today took us back to, like, mid-90s. That,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's dope.
So, right. I'm excited. She will be, we'll be sharing the stage together at the 5th Annual Rhythm of Gospel Awards coming up on July 26th. So this is going to be, you know, it's going to be awesome, man. I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's crazy.
I know, man. I can imagine it.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, it has been a great show. I do apologize for not letting, man, I apologize for the Deacon. You know, he's doing me wrong, man. Forget it. And he's still sitting out there. He has a bag from Golden Corral.
Of course.
Yeah, he has a bag, and he's looking at me. But I saw him the other day at Crackle Barrel. But he didn't want me to let you guys know that he actually went to Crackle Barrel.
I definitely don't see him going there either.
He was sitting in the big, you know, he had a big rocking chairs out front. He was sitting in one of those.
Chilling.
Chilling.
How old is Deep, as a matter of fact?
I tried to ask him how old he was, and he told me to mind my business, so.
Of course.
But anyway, we have about 5 minutes left of the show, so let's go ahead and get into the words to live by.
All right, so the words comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verses 12 and 13. And it says, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So, the thing that I really emphasize on that it stood out so much, only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding. That phrase right there hit me so hard earlier this week. I was talking to somebody and they were telling me how, yeah, such and such told me I should do this and I should do that and, you know, how God is and this and that. And I said, sis, you let an unbeliever tell you the proper way to worship God?
Yeah.
So where did your wisdom and your understanding come from? That doesn't make sense to me. So when we are seeking guidance and wisdom, especially pertaining to the things of God, the source that you get this stuff from, it has to be from God. And especially in life in general. And the thing is, the recipe, this is the recipe. When, you know, God gives us wisdom, he gives us understanding, and we keep the commandments and the law that God has spoke through Moses, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. Love thy God with all your heart and all your strength, with all your soul. You know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. These are the commandments that God has spoke through Moses, and if we keep these things, this is what God says. It says, then you will prosper. If you take care to fulfill the statutes and the judgments in which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. And he wraps up with encouragement. He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. So he's telling us that we are very capable of keeping these commandments. We're very capable of doing all these things that God said we can do. So there's no need to be afraid. There's no need to be discouraged. There's a need to be strong. And there's a need to be of good courage. So, you know, this is what I'm saying, you know, closing out the morning. So I really want you guys to pay attention to that. Only God may give you that wisdom and that understanding. Do not receive it from Satan, these worldly people, the media, television, do-it-yourself books. Now, I'm not against reading books because if you know me, you know that I love reading books. I read a lot. I love books. Mm-hmm. But my source of wisdom comes from the Bible. And that's the only book that I read every day. I read other books, but on a consistent, my Bible opens. And that is my source of wisdom and understanding. Everything else is just giving me knowledge, giving me information. But God gives me wisdom so I can discern what to do with the knowledge that I have partaken from other sources.
Wow.
And that's where your strength is.
There it is. That's where the strength is. Ladies and gentlemen, we, man, definitely had an enjoyable time today here on the Covenant Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, man, you have to know where that source is.
Right.
It's like a power cord, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, when it's unplugged, you feel you don't feel the light. When you unplug your lamp, you go try to turn it on,
mm-hmm.
you can't get that light, right?
Yeah.
So you gotta know where that source is coming from. So the source is the outlet,
mm-hmm.
and the Bible is your outlet. So you gotta plug into that and recognize the source of what's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Face.
And we'll be tuning in next week, maybe thinking of being on the show. I don't know. I know he was out there hanging out, and he was wearing a blue cap. I don't know why he was trying. I don't know if he was disguising himself. But there it is. So until next time, here's your outro. Here you go.
This is the outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show, feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the host. From the east to the west, we broadcast coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We repping Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for cheers. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass. I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next week.